fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks. On Friday, the 28th day of February, year of Lord 2020, welcome to the John Moore Show. As the political insanity becomes more and more insane, it's always important to remember how important the Pledge of Allegiance is. And that's how we begin our show every day. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Prepper tip of the day, I want to encourage people to stock up on paper products, toiletries, and bleach. The things you usually get, if you're getting bleach, be sure and get the unscented Clorox, just the plain unscented Clorox. You may want to get some good quality spray bottles also, because if this coronavirus gets out of control, you'll be wanting to disinfect things with a water and bleach solution, and you're going to need good quality spray bottles to do that with. Typically, the ones you get at the hardware store might be better than the ones you get other places. They tend to be a little bit heavier duty. This is the hour we look forward to every week when we talk about emergency survival communications. And looks like we've got my friend Tom Berryhill with us. Tom began a quest more than half a century ago to become very proficient in anything and everything to do with emergency survival communications, radio frequency engineering, and, of course, ham radio. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, John. How's it going there?
Well, no complaints. I heard the peep frog coming home last night. That means spring can't be too far away, doesn't it?
Right around the corner.
Around the corner. I'm ready. We buried my friend, Sergeant Dennis Burchard, yesterday, and it was a sunny day at the Jefferson Barracks National Cemetery, which is not quite 200 years old. 1824, they established a military cemetery there. A quarter of a million souls buried at the Jefferson Barracks National Cemetery, by the way. Beautiful place, very solemn place. And we had a very excellent, full of military honors funeral for my friend Dennis. Well, Tom, we continue to, I'm seeing the alternative news media is just filled up top to bottom, left to right, with news on the coronavirus, COVID-19 is what it's also being called. And a lot of truth, a lot of disinformation, a lot of stories, a lot of rumors. It's hard to know what to believe, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I guess we won't know until it happens here in a big way. There are some cases, a few cases. I'm just not up 100% on it, John, so I don't know. But as far as my location, I don't think anybody's been exposed to anything like it. So we'll just have to wait. Right.
Well, we don't have any choice on that. Well, in the meantime, we're about 250 days away from the election, first Tuesday of November. This flu virus will either get much worse in the next 6 to 8 weeks, or it will blow over. We don't know which yet. It could go either way. People are criticizing me because I'm saying it's only another form of the flu. Well, I haven't seen what I would call real evidence that it's anything else. I've seen photographs coming out of China, which are scary, and I don't trust them for a minute. And other than that, I'm just going to continue regarding this as just another flu that is more easily transmitted and has a longer incubation period and can live longer on cold, hard surfaces. Other than that, I'm not seeing anything to tell me that it's in terms of real evidence as opposed to beliefs and rumors. But this election coming up the first Tuesday in November, Tom, the man I work with and I've known for 25 years, going back to when I started interviewing Steve Quayle in the late 90s, they're very concerned. They're very concerned that we could have nationwide civil disorder following the election in 2020, about 250 days away. And now would be the time, and we need to keep repeating ourselves, and I sent you an email, Tom, one of our listeners, as a direct consequence of hearing you and I on Fridays, has went ahead and got his entry-level ham license. He's working towards getting his general class license. So we are having an effect, Tom, aren't we?
Yeah, I think so. People are listening and developing some interest, looking into it, doing some studying and passing the test. It's not hard to do. It's not like the old days. That test in the old days was brutal. Had to draw schematics and all kinds of things. But now they've really made it so much easier. The radios are plug and play. You don't have to worry about all the technical adjustments and everything that you had to do in the old days, which was why they had such a complex test, is because you had to know all those things. And today it's so much easier, and the test reflects right. That so almost anybody could pass that thing if they wanted to.
Well, as we say, we routinely have 8 and 9 year old boys and girls taking the test and passing the test. It's not really a big deal. It's going to take a little bit of study, but it's not really a big deal. And if you got a question or comment about ham radio or emergency survival communications, we're certainly open to those questions here at Republic Broadcasting at 800-313-9443. Well, an ongoing dilemma for many people that listen to the show and the people that consider themselves preppers is, how do I find people of like mind? And we need to remind people that within the ham radio community, I would say 9 out of 10 men and women involved in ham radio are interested to a greater or lesser extent in being prepared for natural disasters and civil disorder, aren't they?
It sure seems to be that way. And any time I've gotten around a handful of ham operators, they all seem to get that into the conversation. It's a topic that's of interest to most of them.
That's right. That's right. Plus the bonus. These ham radio clubs, the men and women there buy and sell between themselves. It's not something for the public. Between themselves, high quality, used ham radio equipment at very good prices. A place where you can network and get the bits and pieces you need. Not only radios, but all the things that go with it. Power supplies, coax, connectors. These men and women have boxes and boxes full of this stuff, don't they, Tom?
Yeah, they do. And it's amazing how you can accumulate a lot of this stuff over time. But yeah, somebody always has something for sale, or they have it themselves, or they know somebody that does, and they'll help you get what you need to put your station on the air. And what's really nice to get around all these people is that they've already made a lot of mistakes, and they'll help you not to make the same mistakes they did when putting a station together and getting it on the air. It's not real difficult, but there are some things you have to pay a little bit of attention to, and they'll help you with all that.
So people are sitting out there, and we always have new listeners, never heard this show here. We're talking about ham radio. There's a place, there's a beginning point. Almost all of you have internet access. Here's where you go. ARRL, that's Alpha Romeo Romeo Lima .org. That's your portal. That's your beginning point to understand, learn, get associated with ham radio. Find your local ham radio club. In fact, you can find any licensed ham operator by zip code, Canton Town.
Yeah, you can. If you go to FCC.gov and look at their universal licensing system, you can search out any licensed transmitter in the in their database for all the services, as well as the operator licenses as well. And it would be very simple to just go to that website and then put in the zip code for your area or the area you're interested in, and see what it turns up. It may amaze you as to how many people will be a ham operator, and it might also surprise you that there's people in there that you already know.
That's very possible. Very possible. So what we're advocating here is people learn these skills now. We keep saying that these 8 months will go by very quickly, and they will. It'll be March here in a couple of days. I think Sunday will be the first day of March, and then we'll get through March, and then April. It'll be November before we know it one more time.
It's right around the corner, John. It'll be here pretty quick.
Right. Well, we watch these seasons come and go, these elections come and go. It seems like we just went through this not too long ago. It was already 2016, 4 years ago. We went through this the last time, and I want to urge people in the strongest possible way, urge people to please, please consider getting your ham radio license, getting the equipment you need to talk to the people you care about, making sure that those folks that you want to talk to have compatible equipment, they have their ham radio license also. What peace of mind that would be, Tom, to know that the people you care about, your adult children, siblings, parents, whatever it might be, that they could live 10 miles away or 1,000 miles away, that you can talk to them and keep up on what's going on with each other. Wouldn't that be some great peace of mind, sir?
Well, it usually is, and many people have done that. I know you have, with your family, made arrangements to have a ham operator on, available to help out if something terrible happened and we had no communications. The ham radio systems would be the only ones on the air if something really disastrous happened.
That's right. That's right. So you're getting your heads up here, ladies and gentlemen. We're the watchman on the wall, Tom and I. I'm telling you that this would be a great idea, that in every major catastrophe we've had in the past, Hurricane Katrina, various earthquakes, floods, tornadoes, the ham radio people can talk when nobody else can talk. And that will continue to be the case for many decades to the future, one time.
Yes, we hope so. I know during World War II, I don't know about the First World War, but for World War II, they actually shut down ham radio. They put out American Radio Relay League put out messages, and there was a date that all transmissions had to cease. I'm sure a lot of these guys didn't go by that, maybe turned their power down and talked across town. But it was shut down for the duration of World War II. Came back after the war, of course, and that also put a lot of equipment out there in a surplus market that these ham radio guys grabbed and modified to put into the ham radio bands, and some of that equipment is still being used to this very day. But that's the only time I can think of that they shut down ham radio communications. Now, that was a legal requirement, John. You know, that did make the equipment not work. I don't know how they could ever shut it down today. There's so much of this stuff out there, and I don't think these guys would pay attention to an order to shut down. I think a lot of them would just continue to operate and maybe not use call signs.
I'm not aware that there was anything like that on or after 9/11/01. Are you, Tom?
No, not at all. There was no restrictions that I know of. I was on the air on that very day, and I had a mobile unit, and we put some drums in the pickup truck, went to the gas station, filled those up. My wife went to the grocery store, filled up two shopping carts with what we may need short term. We already had things stored for very long term, but we wanted to get a few extra things. And then the whole time we were listening on shortwave, as I was switching between several frequencies, and we heard everything going on play by play. It's actually listening to Alex Jones. He was broadcasting during the whole thing that morning, and I listened to him on shortwave, crystal clear. And it was some useful information. And then there were some other foreign stations that I listened to as well that were reporting on what was happening play by play. So it was quite an event. But that radio really helped us to stay up to speed on what needed to happen. We filled up all the cars, trucks, everything, as well as these drums with spare gasoline, John, and there was nobody out around town. It was very quiet. Everybody was glued to a television set, but by that evening, in that small town, there were people stacked up at the gas stations and down the highway. They were on the shoulder of the highway. They couldn't even get in there, and the prices had gone through the roof. All that happened in less than 24 hours. I went out and around that evening just to look around and see what was happening around town, and there were people just stacked up everywhere, stores and gas stations.
It was actually about 8 hours or so. I had a similar experience. I was in St. Louis, Metro St. Louis, Kirkwood, a major St. Louis suburb, and our daughter was living with us and her 3-year-old son. I got the family meeting together. I told the women, we're going to do this. We're going to take the money out of the banks, turn it into cash. We're going to fuel up the 3 vehicles, load up essentials to the vehicles, and set up a monitoring station on the kitchen, on the dining room table, to monitor all the emergency frequencies the 24 hours a day for the foreseeable future. And we did that. We did all those things and had everything accomplished by noon. It was about 4 hours later, around 4:30, 5 o'clock, people started getting off work. That's when I saw the lines forming at the gas station. I was walking through the neighborhood. I didn't want to drive. Walking through the neighborhood, observing the gas stations and the supermarket, and I saw exactly the same thing, cars lining up and people getting into the supermarket to buy essentials. And I can see a repeat of that if there was another fast-moving crisis, Tom, where people attempt to carry out their normal workday if they can, and then when the workday is over, then they decide to go get their gas and get their food. I could see that easily repeating itself, couldn't you?
Oh yeah, it wouldn't take much for something like that to get everybody going again like that. It was amazing how it all unfolded, John. But you're right. That evening, it was just bedlam everywhere.
It was. We have a break. Call number is 800-313-9443.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back here on Friday, the 28th of February. I'll be speaking in Indianapolis, Indiana with Pastor Paul Begley. That will be May 1st and May 2nd. Details and tickets at my website at thelibertyman.com. Visiting with Tom Berhill, we're talking about emergency survival communications, ham radio, the need to have the skills, the equipment to go along with it. It's a need that when you need it, you either have it or you don't. It can be a fun family hobby where mom and dad, the kids, and the grandparents can all participate, can it, Tom?
Yes, it can, and that's really used that way by many, John. Most people getting on there do it for the fun and to just learn about communications and use it over short range with small handheld HTs all the way up to international communications on the HF bands. It's very easily done. And what a lot of people don't realize is that you can have the infrastructure right there in your hand with a microphone or, the equipment's right there in front of you, and you control that microphone, and that's the whole system. There's no cell phone towers. There's no wires. There's no repeaters. There's nothing in between the two stations, just the antennas themselves, and the ionosphere reflects that signal back to Earth over great distances, and that's how that international communications is performed. The local stuff can be on repeater systems that extends the range of your handheld radio or your mobile unit, on VHF and UHF frequencies. But I really, as far as emergencies go, I like to focus on point-to-point communications on simplex, which is no repeater, nothing in between, just the two stations communicating between themselves, and that eliminates a lot of trouble in the event of a huge emergency. And if the systems are all out, many of these repeaters, all these hams rely on many times on the VHF and UHF frequencies, they would just be off the air. Not all of them have emergency power for backup. So quite a few, if not most of them, would be off the air, with the exception of those that have planned ahead and have battery backup. And then it's only as good as long as the batteries last, unless they have solar power or generators or whatever to back those batteries up. Usually the repeaters are in a remote area that's not always accessible. So it's only as good as for as long as the batteries last. So that's why I like simplex communications, point-to-point, and I really focus on HF frequencies, John, because you can talk locally, regional communications, all the way to multiple states, nationally, nationwide, or internationally to other countries across the globe. And that can all be done on HF frequencies, and is done all the time. In these times where it's relatively calm. But boy, if something happens that really starts shutting things down, I think that is the ultimate way to communicate, the HF frequencies.
I agree. And Tom, we had a caller on hold here. We got Dave in New York. Good morning, Dave.
Hello, John. Good morning. I just had some ideas on this coronavirus. And these are just things that, looking at everything, I kind of have some more general statements. One thing, they had a guy on the news the other day, and he flew back on the plane with the infected folks in the back from, I guess, the boat, and he was on TV saying, hey, they just gave me Gatorade, and I'm okay, but I'm in the hospital, and my wife didn't get it. She's home. So they kind of downplayed it, and so in some cases, this apparently isn't that that severe. What I see is that at worst, the world is stuck with losing maybe 2% to 5% of the population due to this if it doesn't mutate. So that's just a situation we're stuck with. Can we process that many people? So I think the question is, what's the rate of death going to be? And are there cures that are going to be coming out in the time period as we can try to slow the thing? That's what I see is most important here right now that I can think of. What do you folks think?
Well, I'm continuing to advise people to take prudent precautions. People that are at risk from getting the regular flu are certainly at risk from getting this flu. And
right.
You know, that's the two Japanese couple that succumbed to the coronavirus flu. They were both in their mid-80s. And they had underlying health conditions. And that's what we're going to be seeing, is people with underlying health conditions dying. And that's a big chunk. Americans are not healthy. They simply aren't. More than half of Americans take a prescription pharmaceutical product every day of their life. By definition, if you're doing that, you're not healthy. I don't care how good you look, how healthy you feel. If you're taking a prescription pharmaceutical product every day of your life, something's compromised, you know, unless it's a pain medication or a psychotropic drug. Something's compromised in your immune system. Dave, did you have another comment? We got a break here.
Yeah, hold on. Thanks.
Hold on through the break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
All right, we are back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. There are more here on Friday, the 28th of February. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. I talked to my neighbor who owns the hobby farm for sale down the road from me yesterday. It's still for sale. It's a up-and-running hobby farm. Now, that saves you about 3 years' work right there, ready to go, ready for spring planting. And you can check that out at my website at thelibertyman.com. Also, on my website, you'll find energy clinics for sale. If you want to have a stronger immune system, that means, among other things, sleeping better at night, like I do, like Tom does. Everybody who has an energy cleaner that sleeps great every night. And you can also get yourself an energy cleaner. Check out the details at my website at thelibertyman.com. You can place your order using PayPal, MasterCard, Visa. You want to send me a check? My address is right there. Keep in mind, I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee. The energy cleaner and the mattress pad, that's what you need. The details at my website. You can also call my toll-free hotline to place your order, 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Dave, getting back to your comments, have you seen anything, and I know you're doing a lot of research, and we've talked privately about this. Have you seen any real evidence, as opposed to unsubstantiated stories, that this flu virus is anything other than just a form of the flu that is has a longer incubation period, can live longer on hard surfaces, or anything else to tell you it's more than just?
Yes.
What is it?
Yes, I have. when I look at the data from China, being as flawed as it is, it may be representative, and that's all that I can hope, is that it's representative of what's happening over there. Their population is compromised in certain ways, and our population is compromised in certain ways, so it's hard to translate exactly to the U.S. But the regular flu kills about 0.1% of the infectees, the people who get infected each year. Coronavirus, according to their data, kills about 2% of the population they're estimating. And if we look on worldometer.com or the numbers that are posted there, we see the numbers of people who recovered from it and the numbers of people who died. And initially it was like 20% of the people who died, and I didn't know anything, and I said, wow, this is killing 20%. But that number keeps coming down, and it's now down to 7%. So I would say that the death rate from this is somewhere probably between 2 and 7%, and probably closer to 2%, based on their data. That's what I see as a difference, a significant difference in the ratio of people that are killed who are infected.
Okay. Well, I know you're on top of this, Dave, and you're going to give us updates as they become available, aren't you?
Well, I'm on top as much as I am, but I'm looking very generally at this. And, you know, I woke up this morning and I said, can I live with a loss of 2% of our population, which are probably the weaker folks anyway? How can we deal with that? That's what we need to question ourselves. And that's what the government should look at, is how are we going to deal with this? And I think there's three things that can be done. We can control the rate of infection and the rate of hospitalization so that the healthcare can manage this.
I got a question for you. Now,
good.
It occurs to me that because of the long incubation period, because it can live so long on a hard, cold surface, that a lot more people are being exposed to this than other flus for those two reasons, which would, of course, increase the number of people dying from it. Does that make sense?
Well, I don't know what percentage of people get this via airborne infection versus hard surface. But yes, I mean, I don't know how long these other viruses, the standard flu, resides on a hard surface. I don't know how much effect that is. I'd like to consider that. Okay. Try to get a feel for it. I don't have a feel for that.
Okay.
I do have one brilliant thing occurred to me, and it's simply looking at the CDC website. They say they have testing for influenza, A, B, C, and coronavirus, a general coronavirus test that they have. They typically use this, I guess, in the hospitals. It occurred to me that's how they get their data. Well, if they were to use those simple tests that we already have, if someone has influenza A, B, or C, and they don't show coronavirus infection, a general coronavirus infection, then they probably just have influenza A, B, or C.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah. Think about it. We have a tool, and why aren't they using it? But I'm not an expert in this field. Let others call in.
Okay. Well, Dave, don't be a stranger. We appreciate your diligence and your research, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. Tom, you got any follow-up before we go to our next caller?
No, it's interesting what Dave brought up, and 2%, I mean, that's not a big number, but I guess if 2% of your local area keeled
well,
over.
Well, I know. In my neighborhood, if I went household to household in my neighborhood and made a list of people who are diabetic, people who have a heart, an organ transplant, people who have now or are recently been on chemotherapy, people who take one or more pharmaceutical prescription products every day of their life, I'm looking at about half the people in my neighborhood, Tom, who are certainly at risk of dying from any flu, let alone the coronavirus. And that's who, and as I keep saying, 700 people died of the flu last week, Tom. 700 people will die from the flu this week, and 700 people will die from the flu next week. And that's the ones who die for the most part. We got our next caller is Jerry in Texas. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, John and Tom. I wasn't talking about this coronavirus. Coronavirus is not the flu. Coronavirus is in the same family as the common cold. It took me a little while to understand that. I don't know if you've addressed that or not, but it's two different animals, if you will. But emergency communications. Buddy and I bought an antenna for a handy talkie the other day. I had to get me one. Tom, you know how that works. But it's a fold up, 32-inch fold up antenna for a handy talkie. Some of them carry it in biophone, and several others you can get the tri-band, a 2 meter, what is it, 1 1/4, and 70 centimeters. And we hit my ham shack about 15 miles away. He stepped out in front of his house with his handy talkie, and he was able to contact me with that handy talkie, which I thought was pretty phenomenal. I ordered one, so I went out behind the barn, and I could get a repeater about 20 miles away, and I sat and talked to a ham friend of mine for about 10 minutes with a handy talkie. So, and I guess what I'm trying to say, and you know this, Tom, real well, John, antennas have a whole lot to do with communications. And $20, get it today. Or, you know, if you want to wait from the state boat from China, I'd even get it quite a bit less expensive. But I thought that was pretty cool. So it's not just the radio, it's the antennas, too. So anyway, with that, I'll wish you all a good weekend. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, thank you for the call. I think Jerry's still on the line there. Well, Tom, we always look forward to Jerry's calls, don't we, sir?
Oh, yeah. You said Jerry was still on the line. No, Jerry wasn't, but the rest of the barnyard was.
Well, that's what I meant. No. It's pretty... Everybody.
Hey, John, at least that rooster wasn't yelling in the background like some of the other
times. Yeah, guinea. I think those were guinea hens is what those were.
I think what Jerry's talking about, a lot of QRM in the background, a lot of interference in the background, but he was talking about a larger antenna on an HT. To me, an HT was always about portability, small size, portable, and there's always a trade-off. How small can you go before it's not real efficient because the battery is also much smaller. I like a medium-sized HT with the smallest antenna possible. And what I had set up in years past, maybe 20 years ago, I set up a system where I actually interfaced the same radio I was using on 9/11. It was a Yaesu FT-100, and it was in a pickup truck. And I interfaced that. I made it like a mobile repeater. Now, a lot of hams, they get their license. The first thing they want to do is see how far they can talk with that little handheld because their cell phone works so good. No antenna sticking out, nothing like that. They just think the ham thing will be the same. That's not the case. There's not always a cell phone tower close by, and then you see how well your phone works. Not too good at all. But with the ham radio, if you're trying to go through a repeater, that repeater could be 20 or 25 miles away. It's up on a tall building or a mountain, tall tower, something like that. You can't always, you might be able to hear it, but you can't always talk back to it with that low power radio. So I did what the law enforcement typically does. They set up a mobile repeater, so that HT is only transmitting maybe 100 feet, or they're not very far from their vehicle at any time, and that portable walkie-talkie transmits to the vehicle, and then the mobile repeater interfaces to the high-powered mobile unit that's installed in the vehicle, so that in effect puts usually like a 75 to 100 watt mobile unit in the palm of your hand with that HT. And I set up a similar thing, John, and with a small, it was an ICOM HT in that time frame, about around 2000, 1999, 2000, was an ICOM IC32. And then I took a Motorola Maxar, which was a small 15-watt type of radio, and I modified it for very low power, and I made it full duplex. But I disconnected the final amplifier, so it was only transmitting maybe a tenth of a watt. And I was able to bridge the receiver and transmitter together into one antenna through a filter network, and it made it full duplex. It was about a tenth of a watt transceiver now that transmitted and received at the same time on one antenna, and that actually made it a repeater. But it was in the behind the seat of the pickup truck where the Yaesu radio was also installed, and then it interfaced into the audio circuits of that radio. So what it did, I had to set the Yaesu radio on the frequency I wanted to communicate on, but then that HT was on 440, I don't remember what frequency, it was in the 70-centimeter ham band, and I set it up like that. And transmitted from the HT to that Maxar, Motorola Maxar, that then in turn interfaced into the actual high-power mobile unit. And I actually use that thing on a single sideband network on AHF. And I was talking to a guy, I think he was in Texas or Oklahoma, and he was commenting on my signal because he says every time you turn it back to me, says, I hear a squelch tail, like on a repeater. And we just, as a couple of my hand buddies, were sitting in a restaurant testing this out. And we were all kind of chuckling. We had to explain to the guy what we were doing. And he said, wow, that's really, really a neat setup. But it was rather difficult to do. What amazes me is that the ham manufacturers haven't set something like that up that's used on a regular basis. And it could be performed so easily today with a Bluetooth type of circuit that would allow you to roam around. And maybe some of them have it. I'm not aware of it. I don't keep up on all the stuff like I did in the old days, John. I build a lot of my own things as well, and that's what I did back then. But again, that was about 20 years ago, and it worked very good, and it had a range of about maybe half a mile, a quarter mile maybe at the most. But I usually was pretty close to that pickup truck. It did a heck of a good job, and everybody that saw it wanted one. You could do it today. You could get that Maxar radio for $10 off of eBay, but you can't get crystals for them anymore. The last company that I found as a good source for crystals was International Crystal Company in Oklahoma City, and they shut down. They quit manufacturing because everything's synthesized now. The need for crystals is just about gone. And it would be easier to do it with other types of equipment. I might explore that again here in the future, but not doing anything like that now. But that's how I used an HT for wide area coverage. I never relied on going from that handheld unit all the way to a repeater many, many miles away. Never did try that. It just doesn't work good.
Tom, we got a caller on hold. We got Dennis in Utah. Good morning, Dennis. Dennis, you're on the air.
Hey, hello, John, Tom.
Go ahead. You're
can
here.
You hear me?
I can now.
Dennis in Central Utah. I've been a general class operator now for about 5 or 6 years. Just to let all your listeners know, today's my 69th birthday, and I've I'm on Social Security, and I've been able to build my station over the last few years, just saving my pennies. I've got an HF station, and several UHF-VHF stations that I've got scattered around the ranch here. And it doesn't take that much to get into the hobby, and it really is a lot of fun. Just last night, I made contact with a station in the UK on 80 meters, just with my little 857D Yaesu radio with the NFED antenna, NFED half-wave, and it really amazes me as I'm going from my radio, his radio, halfway around the world, and no infrastructure in between. That still just literally amazes me. So I'm just encouraging all your listeners to save your pennies, take the test, get into ham radio, learn the system. I'll tell you, you're not going to buy a radio and get on the air. There's a learning curve involved, and it takes a while to learn it. But once you do learn it and how the system works, it's quite an asset to your overall preparedness. That's all I got to say, guys. Thanks for everything.
Thank you, Dennis. We appreciate that. And what you just said is going to encourage a lot of other people one at a time.
Well, it certainly will, John. And I think he's out west.
He's out in Utah. Utah. We got a break.
Yeah.
We got a break. Okay. We got a break. We'll break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here, Public Broadcasting, on Friday the 28th of February. Tom, we got another caller here. We got Ted in Illinois. Good morning, Ted.
Hey, John. This is Ted in the land of ill. I got a quick question. I do have a ham radio. It's a portable Bofang. But I was looking at the licensing and really just checking on that website, the FCC. I'm a little concerned about the privacy aspect, having my information out there that anybody could, kind of find. And it's a little, and, kind of as you guys were talking about, where most of the ham radio operators that are licensed are also preppers. it almost seems like it's a list where you can kind of go out and, you know, grab somebody's prep. You know what I mean? So I'm a little concerned about that. Although I haven't gotten my license, I'm considering it. So a little, just wanted to get your opinion about that.
Okay. Let me come summarize here, Ted. You're concerned about your ham license giving people your location. Is that what you're concerned about?
Yeah. Like I checked on the FCC website in my area with my zip code, and it lists everybody's name that is licensed and their home address.
Right.
I really try and limit my information out in databases from a privacy standpoint. Is there any way around that, or is it really just
there's a way around that a little bit. Go somewhere 30, 40, 50 miles away and get a PO box and put that down as your address, and that'll show up on the registration, and then your actual physical your physical address. They just need a contact address, and then your physical address will just not be there. But boy, the way the internet is today, you can find out where anybody is. So it's almost not an issue, it is an issue if you want to look at it that way.
In the past, Ted, I've used lawyer friends of mine have agreed to accept mail on my behalf at the law firm address. A business owner who's a friend could agree to accept mail for you at their business address. There's lots of ways to skin that cat, Ted.
Okay, that's what I was wondering, if they were, stringent about.
They don't know. They don't care.
They used to.
This box is filled in with an address. They don't care. They're a bureaucrat.
In the old days, you had to. Years ago, you had to show the. You actually had two different licenses combined into one. You had the station license and the operator license, and you had to show that it was a fixed station and the location. They wanted to know the physical location, not with GPS points or anything like that. That wasn't around, or longitude, latitude, things like that. But they did want to know the address of that fixed station, as they called it. And you had to fill all that out. But all of that stuff's been relaxed greatly, and I really don't see where you could have any trouble by going to quite a distance away. In our case, in Missouri, you could go across the Mississippi River and get a P.O. box in an Illinois town, and you'd be issued a call sign with a 9. The digit would be a 9 instead of a 0, and you'd show up as an Illinois station. And then you could modify that down the road, but that's how it would work.
Okay.
That's
Ted, thank you,
sir.
Should call Tom. Thank you, sir. We'll talk privately soon. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jen.
Got a top of the hour break. We'll be back to Dr. Lynn Wilbert. Stay tuned.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once per year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.